Welcome to the Grace Church Podcast, recorded live every Sunday in Cork City Centre at our 12 o'clock service. We would love to welcome you and see you in person. For more information, visit our social media or go to graceireland.ie. We're praying that this sermon will help you to connect with Jesus. God bless you, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
We're back. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, sisters. If you have an empty chair next to you, I can see a few. Could you put up your hand so the ushers can see? Ushers, empty chair here. Another one here. There's a few around the place. Praise God. Just on the Katie Taylor thing, in case you didn't know, a couple of years ago, I know Katie Taylor personally. Chatted with her a few times, know that, and spoke in the church she goes to. But Katie and her family came to Grace and worshipped just the way you worshipped. So if you want to say the most famous sportswoman in Ireland is a Christian, she's a Christian who visited the Christians in Cork. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm talking today about someone who was an outsider, and I'm going to be jumping between Mark 7 and Matthew 15. But I pray to begin. Hallelujah. Feed our souls. We're hungry. We're starving. We want your word to feed us today. Make us strong.
Yes, Lord.
That we can be the Christians we're meant to be. Amen. Amen. So let your word come alive. We pray to you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, send your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to just give a prophetic word that's not necessarily to do with what I'm sharing here, but something bizarre happened to me yesterday. I felt God say this word to a household, to a family. I went walking yesterday. I was walking yesterday afternoon in the town of Youghal. I walked in the old historic part. Most people have never probably walked there. And as I was driving there and parking the car, I felt God say to a family here that your house is going to be a house of peace.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The strife, the tension is about to end.
Hallelujah.
And I thought, that's a lovely word, Lord, but maybe that's just me wishing for something good. So I went walking. And I saw a house that I have never seen before in Youghal. I never walked down the street. And the name of the house was House of Shalom. Shalom is Hebrew for peace. So I knew God was confirming the word in my heart. So if you've come in here today and there's strife and tension and fighting or depression in your house, God is saying, I'm going to turn your house into a house of peace.
Hallelujah.
I pray that would come to pass.
Hallelujah.
And that every home here would know your shalom in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 So this woman I'm going to look at today was an outsider. Let me start and talk about the city of Belfast. I have been visiting Belfast for decades. I first did it in the early 1980s, I've been preaching in churches there with different pastors. And one of the things that often happened is one of the pastors, one of my friends up there would say, do you want to see the local peace wall? The peace walls in Belfast are walls that the government built to keep one side of the community away from the other, because there was a lot of rioting and attacks and murders. If you're new to Ireland, about half the city identifies as Irish, the other half identifies as British. There's been a lot of trouble and a lot of fighting. So they built these huge walls. If you're listening on podcast or if you're watching on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you might be able to see it too well. But these walls are huge. And on top of the huge walls, there's barricades and there's wire and railings. It's to keep people apart. But honestly, ask any pastor in Belfast, are they the barriers? They're not really. The barriers are in the minds, and the barriers are in the hearts, and people are prejudiced against other people. They are other. They are not the people that we are. So there's a huge amount of that that thankfully is beginning to come down. But when we look at the Bible, we can see the same thing. And when we look in our own lives, we can see the same thing as well. So there's all kinds of barriers. And I'm looking at a barrier that was erected and Jesus allowed it. So we're looking at that today. And Mark 7:24 says, Jesus went away to a house in the Tyre Sidon region, not wanting anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. So this is strange. What's the context? So where did he go and why? And this is really important. Let's start with why. The context of Jesus moving over to what is today southern Lebanon, why did he go there? Well, he had been ministering very much so. He was hardworking, as were the disciples, for a long time in the Galilee area. He was healing the sick. He was doing miracles. He was teaching and preaching. He was training the disciples when the Pharisees, the religious hypocrites, came up to try and trap him. He confronted them. When there was a storm on the lake, he walked on the water and he encouraged Peter to walk on the water until Peter's faith ran out. So it was an intense period of time. Why did Jesus move away and didn't want people to know? He wanted a break. Remember, Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully what? Fully human, fully man. And like any human being, like you, like me, sometimes you get tired, maybe you get exhausted. So Jesus and the guys, the disciples, are going to rest. They're going for a break. There's nothing wrong with that. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
It's a good thing. That's why the Lord gave us one day in seven that we're called to have as a Sabbath, as a rest. Anyway, that's another story. So that's why Jesus was going. But where were they going? This is really important. Now, if you're new to the church, you might not know. I love maps. Would any of the regular people say amen? Did you see how I sneaked in a map there earlier? Did you? Did you see that, Juve? You see how he snuck in an old map there, just to keep you going. Now, I know you were all in ecstasy last Sunday because I put up a map of the city of Cork and we saw McCurtain Street, and right in the middle we saw all of you because you were on the map and you were all delighted. No, you weren't. But I'm going to show you the map in big portion here so we know what we're talking about. This is a map of the Galilee, northern Israel, and up into what is today southern Lebanon. So Jesus had his base here in Capernaum. If you're looking on this screen, this is where Jesus was living and ministering. There's the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus walked on the water. So he was ministering here. And if you can look at it, this is the green area. It's where the Jews or the Israelites live. And Jesus and the disciples were leaving there, and they were going here somewhere between the towns of Tyre and Sidon, over here, and they were moving out of the Jewish area. That's very important, because Jesus was called to minister to the Jews, and he was moving away from there. Tyre and Sidon are in the news. It was in the news yesterday with the ongoing war that's going on in Lebanon, Israel. My niece lived in that city for a while with the United Nations working there. She told me it's pronounced Tyre, like a tear from your eye. But either way, this is where Jesus went. So that's the context, and it's good we know. So Jesus and the disciples have gone to this house. They're going to have a break. But guess what happens? Immediately. Not after a couple of days, not after a couple of minutes, immediately a local woman heard that Jesus was near and she came falling down at his feet. This tiny half a verse is packed with where that woman was, who she was. Immediately, some of us here are overthinkers. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
We think too much. Well, I do sometimes. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Who's a bit of an overthinker here? Come on, confession is good for the soul. Oh my God, this is a church of the overthinkers. Okay. You see, if you're like me, if you put up your hand, we would probably go, Jesus in town. I wonder, should I cut to that? Am I welcome there? I mean, I am. This, I'm not. Should I go? No. No, there was no prevarication. Immediately, she goes to that house. In the Irish language, we say, Vúl sí istach an doras. In other words, she belted in the door. She just arrived in. But look what she did. She heard Jesus was near, and she came and fell at his feet. You know Jesus is near. You wouldn't be in a place like this otherwise. Never be afraid to fall at his feet. Hallelujah. So, the break is ending. The chill-out time is ending. Why did she do that? We're told in verse 25 to 26. She had a little daughter, troubled by an evil spirit, and she begged Jesus to heal her. But she was a Gentile. So, how does the enemy, if you're a parent, usually the way the enemy will hurt you or me is through our children. If our kids get sick, if the communication breaks down, if there's trouble between, that's how he hurts us. Would any parents say amen?
Amen.
Now, maybe you're not that bothered with your kids, but for most parents, that's true. So her little daughter, today they try and describe it as severe mental health, but the Bible says the root wasn't mental health, the root was an evil spirit attacking her. And sometimes that's true today as well. You might say there's no such thing as evil spirits. I beg to differ. Yes, there are. So she knew what it was, and she knew Jesus had the answer. So, what's she doing? She is coming to Jesus for another person. She is calling on the Lord for someone else. This is called intercession. It's not her own need, it's her daughter's needs. I don't have time to call people up to minister later, but some of us are here today and we're praying for someone else. I'm going to press pause and we're going to pray for 60 seconds for those who are here for someone else. You know the burden on your heart. It's not necessarily you, it's someone else. If that's you and you want to pray just where you're sitting, would you stand on your feet? Stand on your feet if you want to pray for someone else. Let's take the time before God. Would you lift your hands up and put the person in the palm of your hands figuratively? We pray to you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, for the person we care about, for the person we love. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Just like this woman who came and fell at your feet to pray for another, we pray for that person. Whether our prayer is healing, whether our prayer is you change their heart, their lifestyle, their attitude, their circumstances, whatever it is, hear our prayer now as we pray for them. And just as happened for this woman, I pray you would answer our prayer for that person in Jesus' name. And the people who prayed said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's take our seat. So far, so good. We're all for this. This is great. She knows Jesus is near and she comes and she immediately falls at his feet. That's why she fell at his feet. However, we meet the first barrier, first obstacle, because we're told Matthew's version of this in Matthew 15, 23, he says, but Jesus did not answer her. Remember, both Matthew and Mark were there. This is their memory. They were right in that room, in that house on the coast of the Mediterranean, that day when this desperate woman came in. And they both remember, Jesus didn't answer her. And some of us here today, it's like God is silent. And I've been there a good couple of times. Here's what I want to say. If God isn't saying anything to you, if you have no sense God is hearing your prayer, silence does not mean no. Anyone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
It doesn't mean no. Sometimes God is silent for a purpose, And what was going on here, spoiler alert, he does heal her daughter, but what was going on is he's testing her. And I know God has tested me. I'm showing my age, but one of my favorite singers way back when was a guy called Bob Dylan. He became a Christian. He was a big famous singer. Most people heard of him. But he had a song where he said about, do we love God for who he is, or is he just a messenger boy or an errand boy to satisfy our wandering desires? Is Jesus just a genie in the bottle that when we want something, we rub the bottle and he comes out and gives us our wish? Or do we love him because he first loved us? The Bible says we love God because he first loved us. His kindness leads us to repentance. Do we love him because we're in relationship with him? Or is he just a messenger boy? So sometimes, for you and for me, Jesus will be silent and he's testing our hearts. Oh, come on, God, open the door. Because if you don't open the door, I'm going to walk away. Are you? Okay. I remember being at a prayer meeting years ago, and this guy shouts out, Mike was there, and I remember he shouted out, Lord, if you don't do that for me, I'm going to walk out that door. Imagine being at a prayer meeting in a church like that. Do it for me, Lord, I walk out the door. And he walked out the door, and we never saw him again. God will not answer those prayers. How dare we test God? But he tests us. So Jesus is silent. Because he's testing her. Her faith, though, kept moving her close to Jesus. She's not giving up. She's getting closer to Jesus. She's still kneeling at her feet. And then we see another no coming. And I really respect this because Mark and Matthew are talking about themselves. Both of them say, then the disciples, the 12, came and begged Jesus, would you send her away? She's making so much noise. Send her away. So the woman is getting rejected by the very people who should be encouraging her and helping her. Yes, on a human level, they were probably a bit burnt out from all the ministry, but this is a human being. This poor woman was in a terrible state. And their flesh came up instead of their spirit, their carnal nature, their natural nature instead of their spiritual nature. And they wanted her out of the room, out of the house. They rejected her. But they're admitting it when they wrote it years later. And then the silent Jesus finally says something. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now we know that Jesus, about 2 years later, before he ascended into heaven, gave what's known as the Great Commission. He said, go tell everyone the news the kingdom of God has come. So most of us, if not all of us here, we're not Jewish, so it wasn't our time, but the time of the Gentiles, that's us, was then coming. But for this moment, for these 3.5 years, Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, if I was there, this is me, confession is good for the soul, I would be furious. I would shout out, discrimination. Why are you discriminating against her? This is terrible. This is bigotry. This is discrimination. It's a bit like you've come here, let's say, from Africa, you've got black skin and you experience discrimination. If anyone shows you discrimination in this church, I'll break their face. We'll say amen. The worst discrimination, though, is felt by men who have no hair. That's the worst. You might say, what do you know about discrimination? You're as white as they come. Well, up until the 1980s, Irish people were known as the blacks of Europe. And I remember my uncles and aunts telling me when they were in England, America, they would go to try and find a place to live or they would apply for a job and they'd see signs up. No blacks, no Irish, no dogs. That's true. So discrimination has always reared its head in different settings. So that would be my instinct. But this woman doesn't pull out the discrimination card. She doesn't contradict Jesus. She says nothing. So I want you to put yourself in her shoes for this moment in time. Look at the outsider. First of all, she's the wrong race. She's Canaanite or a Gentile. She's not Jewish. She's not an Israelite. Here's number one obstacle. Number two, it's the wrong season. Jesus at this time was only doing ministry among the Jews. To the non-Jews, it would come later. So she's out of season. She got no invite to come into that house. It's not like Peter or John sent her a WhatsApp saying, hey girl, do you want to hang out with us? We're down in this house. No. Didn't say, sure, feel free to come in. If an Irish person says to you, call in anytime, they don't mean it. It's just what you say. I'm not talking about Christians, I hope I'm not. Call in anytime. No. Did she get an invite? She didn't. She wasn't welcome. That's a third reason. Jesus was silent. God was silent. There was no answer coming. Here's another thing happening. And then she was rejected by the disciples. Here's what I want to say. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 solid, logical reasons why she should have given up and gone home. 5. In Irish we say, a hen, a doe, come on,
a tree, a
couig. In French you say, un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq. Who can do it in Portuguese for me? Claudia, are you out there somewhere? Come on up, do it in Portuguese, I can't do it. You've got to come up on the stage. We're going to hear it in Portuguese, well, Brazilian Portuguese. I know, you've got to come up on the stage. I asked her, what's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? And she said it in beautiful accent, and I still can't say it. Okay, hold the microphone and do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in Portuguese. Come on.
Okay. Dois.
Três.
Quatro.
Cinco.
Well done, Claudia! How about we get in a couple of other languages? Give me a language of the Philippines, someone. One of the Filipino languages. Okay, there's no Filipinos in the church. Ah, that's a pity. Come on, girly. Give us it in your language. 5 reasons. We need to hear it in a couple of languages. I'm going to ask for an Indian and an African language as well, okay?
I have to think this twice because I was given out the last time we were planting seeds over there because I was saying it in Bisaya. But loads of people here are speaking Tagalog, so I'll say it in Tagalog this time. Isa, dalawa, tatlo, apat, lima. I'll say it in Bisaya. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco.
That sounds like Spanish. We'll do it in an Indian language. Tamil, Malayalam, one of those languages. Anyone?
Korea.
Up you come. This is the language of Goa, I think, isn't it? It's okay, we can have 2 languages. Come on, we want to hear it. Tell us the language and then what's the language called?
Hindi. Okay, so Hindi, and I'm from Goa, so Konkani, we have the same count of the numbers. So it's ek, do, teen, char, panch. And in Konkani, we say ek, do, teen, char, panch. The same. So it's the difference in don.
Well done, Lorraine. Thank you, my love. One more. Let's have an African language. Anyone come up with an African language? Come on. Give it up. Well done. So what language is this?
Xhosa
from South Africa. Actually, this is one of the coolest languages because this language, they click their tongue. I can't even. Do you click your tongue 1, 2, 3? Okay, are you listening?
Inye, zimbini, zindatu, zine, zintlan. And then I'll do the Afrikaans one. Ien, twee, drie, vier, vijf.
Yeah, well done. Why are we doing it in all the languages? I want everyone to get it into our hearts and our head. 5 reasons for God, or to give up on God. 5 reasons, and they're logical and they're strong, that you would walk away. If I was there, I'd probably say, hey sister, time to give up and go home. five reasons. One, two, three, four, five. Not one, not three, not four, not two, five. Five. But she doesn't leave. Some of us today, we feel like giving up. And maybe you've got five reasons. Maybe you've got one. And you say, this is too much. Hang in there, brothers and sisters, who'd say amen.
Amen.
God isn't finished in your life yet. He has not written the last chapter of your book.
Amen.
Then Jesus goes on and says, he said, let the children be fed first. It's not right to take their bread and feed it to the dogs. The children are the children of Israel. The dogs really are the Gentiles at that time. But this is the first little chink of light. Here's a little bit of hope. Because she was full of faith. And when Jesus said, let the children be fed first, now she can see light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus isn't saying never, he's saying not now. That's the implication. And I know a lot of Bible commentators say these aren't Rottweilers dogs, that these were little puppies that kids would have under the table. But it's still a hard thing to hear. And I love the woman's response. This is the epicenter of what I want to say today. She's had all the no's. She's had closed doors, wrong race, wrong time, wrong place, rejection, silence. Look what she says. She doesn't say to Jesus, how dare you call me a dog? She doesn't start to fight. She does the opposite. She says, yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from the master's table. Yes, Lord. We'd probably go, no, Lord. But she said, yes, Lord. I'm not contradicting. I'm not fighting. You see, all the promises of God are yes
and
amen. Amen. We say yes to the Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs. You might go, I don't want a crumb. But you see, there's crumbs and there's crumbs. And when we think of crumbs, we think of something you stuff a chicken with or something. But the bread was a little bit bigger. It was flat bread. It's what we're going to take in a moment. And the children obviously would drop bits of bread like all children did, like you did and like I did. And so the crumbs would fall from the table. Here's the thing though. It is better to have a crumb from Jesus' table than to have a feast in a wicked table. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
It is way better for life. What is the crumb for her? That her daughter would be healed. If your daughter was really sick, if you were really sick, if someone you love had rejected you, you'd say, give me a crumb, Lord. Let there be a miracle. Heal her, heal him, change the situation. What does Jesus say to her finally? He says, you are a woman of great faith.
Hallelujah.
What you want will be done.
Hallelujah.
And what happened? What happened? At that very moment, her daughter was healed.
Hallelujah.
We don't even know if the girl was in the room. She probably wasn't, because Jesus didn't lay hands on her. He didn't come against the spirit. She was probably back in the woman's house. But that very moment she was healed. So she could have pulled out discrimination. She could have said, no, Lord. She could have said, how dare you? She listened to Jesus. Why? Because she knew God was testing her heart. Hallelujah. Perhaps he's testing your heart. Maybe that's why he's silent at the moment. Maybe that's why you're not, or I'm not, seeing answers to prayer. God is testing the heart. I'm here today to say, have faith and be patient, because God comes through. He is a God who heals.
Amen.
And you can't say there's no link between faith and healing, because there's two errors in the Christian, wider Christian church. Some Christians don't think there's any healing for today. I don't know what they do with all the Bible verses that talk about healing. The other extreme is people who say you can't get healed unless you have great faith. Both are wrong. There's an element of truth in some of them, but the real truth is God can heal anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Amen.
God can do a miracle in a bank, in a hospital, in a mental home. God can do a miracle in a drug rehabilitation center. God can do a miracle anywhere.
Amen.
But there is definitely a tendency where if we have faith, God sees that and he rewards it and he heals. It doesn't mean that God can't heal someone without faith. He does it. He did it in the Bible. But if you and I have faith, there's a link.
Hallelujah.
And I want to pray that every man and woman in this hall would increase in faith so that we would see God moving in power in our families and in our lives. Can you say amen to that? You might say, do I want a crumb? The crumbs were answered prayer. The crumbs are healing. The crumbs are recovery. The crumbs are an end to loneliness. The crumbs are finding that person that God wants you to be. The crumbs are God gives you an opening when there is only closed doors in your life. Who in their right mind says no to the crumbs that fall from Jesus' table? You know what the Bible says? This is what Psalm 84 says. Better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live at ease in the house of the wicked. Anyone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
One day in God's house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. If ever there was a crumb, that's a crumb. I would rather be a doorkeeper. The lowest servant was at the door. I would rather be that in your house, Lord, than dwell at ease in the house of the wicked. Book of Proverbs says it's better to eat a meal just of herbs, like alfalfa sprouts or something. Imagine that's your dinner. Better a meal of herbs where there is peace than the fatted calf where there is strife. Brothers and sisters, the scripture tells us a crumb from Jesus' table is worth more than anything the world out there can give you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Bread of heaven. The Bible is all about bread. And one of my favourite hymns is called Bread of Heaven, an old Welsh hymn. Remember the children of Israel, they got manna in the desert, which was bread from heaven. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Give us this day our
daily
bread. He said, I am the bread of life. We can eat the crumbs from the table. Give us great faith like this woman. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 solid reasons not to believe, not to hope, not to pray. But she had great faith. Give us great faith, Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Faith for our sons and daughters, our mothers and fathers, our brothers and sisters. Faith for healing. Faith for miracles.
Amen.
Faith for provision. You are Yahweh. You are Jireh. You are Adonai. You are Shaddai. You are the one who is all sufficient. So come, Lord Jesus, and let our faith grow from today on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message from Grace Church Cork. We hope that it helped you in your walk with Jesus. If you're wanting to find out more about us, connect with us, or maybe even come in on a Sunday, all our information is on our social media and website, graceireland.ie. We're praying that this message blessed you, and feel free to follow and subscribe so you never miss a message. God bless and have a great week.